Hi everyone, I'm Courtney Wright, Lady Boss Podcast here. Coming to you today is Kathleen Sarpy. You're gonna be really excited to hear what her story. She's CEO of Agency H5, a public relations firm specializing in restaurants and hospitality. I think you'll really like her story. Let's listen to Kathleen Sarpy. Okay, as I understand it, more than 20 years ago, you started your firm by a sump pump in your basement. Can you give us a little quick story on that?
Thanks again for having me. I'm really honored to share my story. 21 years ago, I was leaving a big agency job behind because I really felt like I was at a crossroads of my career. I had a small baby, another baby on the way, and I was really in conflict with my values and my job. So I decided to focus on what was most important to me, which was being a mother, but I had to obviously pay the bills with two small children. And we started H5 out of my basement. It was just me, a sump pump next to me, an IKEA desk, a lot of tenacity, will, and a lot of prayer. And 21 years later, I'm really fortunate, I guess, to continue to be doing a job that I love with people I love.
A lot of people think that starting a company is a road to riches, so to speak. But both of us know that it's a lot of investment before there are any riches, so to speak. So true. How did you make that leap when, in fact, you were vulnerable? You had two small children, lots of expenses, and you were young. You didn't have the knowledge you have today. What gave you that confidence?
Honestly, it was really, I think, a leap of faith. There really wasn't a plan. There was no backup plan. There was no net. I kind of work best under those circumstances. You know me. So, yeah. You know, I'm kind of a risk, I don't have risk adversity. So I decided I could bet on myself. And if it didn't work out, I could always go back if I had to go to the big agencies again. But it ended up working out well. But, you know, my advice to people that are thinking about starting their own businesses, do it, try it. Because I was never intending on doing it in my my career. I thought I'd be forever in a big agency or corporate setting. But again, my value system got really, I guess, rubbed the wrong way when I had a baby and I couldn't see her. And I decided if this is what senior leadership as a working mother is like, I don't like myself. I don't like what I see in the mirror. So I made that bet, an investment on myself. And you're right, it was incredibly risky. But at the same time, it paid off, and it's an annuity I'm grateful for now because it gave me flexibility to have a lot more kids, as you know, but also to, you know, deal with aging parents and different things that happened in my life, you know, that I had to.
You needed the time flexibility.
I didn't have to ask permission.
You know, a lot of people, you know, personally, I grew up with entrepreneur parents. I married people that were entrepreneurs. So it wasn't that, it was what I saw, and I modeled that in some ways. But you grew up with parents, you know, a dad that worked at a big company, so to do this, you know, entrepreneurship thing was an even bigger leap. How long did it take until you really said, maybe I'm onto something, and maybe this will stick?
Well, I'll say first, it took the first 6 months where I made $5,000 total, which I realized was a problem. It would not be sustainable for me to pay the mortgage and continue to, you know, put children through, let alone diapers, college. So, my dad worked in corporate America. My mom was a nurse and worked every other weekend, and I spent a lot of time with my father. I didn't have role models that necessarily were entrepreneurs, but again, I keep going back to, it was just something for me that would give me the freedom. I needed the freedom, and I knew that I was young, and if I needed to go back to corporate America, I probably could. But at the same time, being an entrepreneur for me was, unintentionally, it grew out of just clients. I guess I knew when clients like Kraft and Allstate and Sears and other big brands that I worked with in the agency world trusted me with their brands as a small, you know, entrepreneur at the time. Yeah. And then I ended up, you know, ultimately having hundreds of those type of clients over the years, which I'm really grateful for. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that one really unique thing that you do very, very well is you were able to take what you're talking about now, your values. You needed autonomy and you needed flexibility and turn those into a business. But you know, even after employee number one and two and three, you've had dozens and dozens of employees, and I really feel like your company could always recite your values very well. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about how you make that, you know, those five core values so predominant in the culture of your company, because I think it's really unique to many companies.
Thanks. Yeah, I again, my value system has always been ingrained in me. I ask my kids and students I speak with at Purdue to think about what are the things you stand for. I don't think we do that enough in the world where, what do I stand for? And I was fortunate that by de facto starting my own company, I was able to create a value system that I could work within. Yeah. But then I also wanted to, actually Rich Melman, one of my mentors, told me, hire people that share the same values as you. They don't have to be cookie cutter versions of you, but if they have the same or similar values, you'll have a much stronger company. And that value system driven business advice, I think, was really smart. So I started to really decide if I was gonna work for myself, I was gonna work with nice people, so kindness. I really didn't like working on businesses that didn't appeal to me when I was at a bigger firm. So work on things you're passionate about, passion. You know, don't just do things to do things, have a creative like take on it or spin. So creativity was really important to me. And then, you know, obviously integrity is something that I think businesses often don't really support. Like, I think sometimes it's always profit. Profit's great. But I wanted to be very transparent with my clients about results. At what I was billing them, what I was doing for them for the retainer they were paying me. I wanted the value system to be good. So I've done kindness, creativity, passion. Oh, hustle. The last one I would say would be hustle. We need to not necessarily let grass grow. You're very similar. I think you want to get things done and move on. And I'm a person that hated the bureaucracy of a big company. Yeah. Yeah. And so hustle, just get it done and enjoy your life or make more money or get another client. So those are the five values that I subscribe to my whole life.
And yeah, that's great. They're really uber relevant in today's world. And I think business has changed so much since you've been in business. Mm-hmm. How's the technology impact, you know, change of how that's such a prevalent part of our lives changed a PR firm?
Well, I would say social media changed everything. Because when I started this company, a TV hit or a newspaper hit was really all that we were getting clients, and that was a big deal, right? Mm. Or a magazine story. And in the world of social media, technology has really changed the outcome of what our clients are looking for and what they consider valuable and what they measure success based on. Sure. Sometimes a good social influencer hit could be way more valuable than a Today Show hit these days, which is very, very different than when I started my company, for sure.
And in naturally, as you know, your role has changed in the career, in your company because of so many people, et cetera, and just our age. We didn't grow up on social media. No. So who's the hire that you need to make to be successful at a large firm today that really understands how to get that influencer and how to drive that value for these large clients that you work for?
Well, that's a really good point about youth. I think one of the things that has helped me remain relevant and fresh in my own, I guess, journey as a business owner and as a PR person and a marketer has been being around younger people. And that's another, I think, mentor piece of advice. You're definitely one of my mentors and have given me so much advice over the years. Another mentor of mine is Carol Lavin Burnick, and she led Alberto Culver for many, many years. And she told me, surround yourself with younger people, and that will keep you young too. And I think that's a really good piece of wisdom. So I have really relished mentoring younger women because they've taught me as much as I've been able to teach them, and it has made, I think, me stay younger and more interested in learning. I think just being around the youth of each generation. It's funny, when I started the company, I was, 28? And now that I'm in my I'll be 51, it's interesting that, I used to think I was their same age until so many years, 21 years have gone by, and I still think, you know, that I'm running with the young dogs, but at the same time, I've aged, so they see me differently. But I remain, in my mind, I think, young because of that exposure to probably 250 young women and a few very brave men over the years.
Right. To grow your company, you need more people. How has that changed in this very tough hiring market that we're in?
That's a good question. I'd say efficiencies actually are important. I used to want to be a bigger company, and I actually am pretty comfortable in the 24-person range right now. I like that size better than I've been 50. I've gone on my way to 60, but I think 20, 25 is actually a very efficient number. You know, the profitability of a PR and marketing firm is both the clients, but also the type of scale of work we do. So if we have specialists in certain things like social media or hospitality clients, you know, the more clients you have in that same sector space, the more efficient you can be in doing their work. So, you know, my firm's growth has been not necessarily always EBITDA driven, but has always been efficiency driven in a way, because I don't think bigger is always better. Yeah. I think having maybe better clients is more efficient, or having clients that understand the value of what we produce and actually increase their budgets because of the great work. That's the best validation, right? Or the referral of one brand to another brand in a bigger company. That's what I focus on.
Yeah, no, I think you bring up a great point. I don't think enough people know who is a great client. Mm-hmm. And every company has their own measure of what makes a great client. But have you ever had to fire a client because they just didn't fit?
Many times, actually. And that was, I think, the privilege and the risk and privilege of owning your own company, right? Yeah. I've had to fire some. I actually fired a $1.3 million client probably 15 years ago. So it was a very bold move to do that. But they weren't fitting the value system. I was going home every night sad. You know, by that point, I wasn't working in my basement anymore, but I was feeling like disappointed that I was taking money and I was sort of in some way minimizing the value system I had set up, which is work with nice people. And they weren't treating not only me kindly, but my team. And that bothered me.
Yeah.
And so I always do believe when you do the right thing happens back. It, maybe not right away, but if you look back in retrospect, it does. And I had to say, you know, we worked together 6-7 years. I really appreciate the opportunity to have worked with you, but it doesn't align anymore with my firm's values, and it was a different leader that had come on board, actually, that wasn't treating us kindly. And within a month, I got another $1 million piece of business that lasted many, many years. And so I think when you do the right thing, you should never regret that, even if right at the moment it's maybe not the best outcome.
Yeah, the journey of an entrepreneur is not for the faint of heart. I mean, there's a lot of ups and downs and turns, and you've always got to show up and be positive for your team, but it is pretty gut-wrenching a lot of the times. You know, one thing you did that I think a lot of people don't think through the name of their company when they start a company, because maybe it's too narrow, it doesn't tell what they do, and then often they'd like to rebrand, but they don't know how to do it. And you successfully rebranded a 18-year-old company from what you were to Agency H5. I'd like to just hear, what did you have to think about in order to do a successful rebrand?
Well, I mean, everyone knew my company as Henson Consulting when I started it. And the reason I named it Henson Consulting was, at the time, my last name was Henson, which is the name of my children. But also, I was consulting out of my basement. It was not a really strategic decision what I named the company. But as I changed, you know, my life and my name and my story, I felt like when we went through a rebrand, it was important to really articulate why I was in business in the first place. Mm-hmm. I wanted to still have a continuity of the Henson, so the H stayed. But actually what I realized is, aside from the H, it stood for happy and human, which is the reason I created the company. Was I wanted to be happy, and I wanted to be able to feel human, and I wanted that same joy and privilege for my employees. And then the 5 really was a nod to those 5 core values we talked about, but also a nod to those 5 amazing children I was able to give birth to because I didn't sacrifice my soul for my job. And so that's the nod back to the storytelling. And I do think good brands have a story behind them. There's always there's a reason behind it if it's a good brand. And in most cases, there's, you know, either you're going to build a brand through awareness, you know, and advertising or marketing, like what my firm does, or it's going to be through memory. And I think people remembered Agency H5, and people call us H5 now. But they love, I think my clients love hearing that the 5 stands for those 5 kids and the values, and it's memorable to them. And I'm satisfied with the name change, because it was for a while worrisome to me that people maybe would forget who we were or wouldn't remember us. And they did. So that was good.
Well, well done. I mean, I think so much thought goes into it. And I can, you know, you're such a storyteller. All of the thinking and planning that you do, it may not always be apparent on the outside to people what goes into something like that. But congrats on taking the time to think through that. You know, this podcast is really designed to talk to people that are natural growers and multipliers. And aside from the fact that you have birthed five children and have a stepson, you just are that person that's always telling stories and always seem to be helping others and spread their story. Can you maybe talk about somebody in your life that was a mentor and how they helped you get on your own growing and multiplying journey?
Yeah, back when I was at Purdue, I didn't know what I was going to do for a living, even as a junior. And I saw a woman speak actually so confidently and articulately, like share her story around being in PR. And I had never even heard what public relations was. Her name was Wendy Levi Leinhart, at the time Wendy Levi. And she spoke in my class, and I was assigned to her to take her around campus. And she really invested in me that day. But beyond that, she invested in me well after. And not a lot of people do that, especially women. I think back then in the late 80s, early 90s, you know, I didn't have exposure other than to my mother, or my aunt, or grandmother, you know, women at all in a leadership way that until I went to college. And so to get a woman's time invested in me as a young woman and want me to be successful was a huge honor, and I took her up on her offer to like stay in touch, and she actually really continued to honor that like offer. So every time I'd ask her about what to wear, what to say, or how to interview, or how to write a cover letter for a job, she was there to help me. And that was really ultimately what got me into public relations, was looking at Wendy and seeing how confident and excited she was every day about her job. And I ended up working for the firm that she worked at right out of school, which was after a lot of bothering their general manager and figuring out ways to reach him before email was even not even existing then. So I was FedExing letters that he'd open or calling before 9 a.m. when his assistant wasn't answering phones so that he would actually answer the line. And then I'd say, I'll work for free if you give me a shot. Put me in, coach, you know, and much to his credit, he let me do that. So I honor Wendy all the time. She passed away almost 2 years ago, but I'm still really close with her children, and I feel like that's her legacy living on. I watch all three of those kids succeed.
That's amazing. You're lucky. I know you've been a mentor to so many people, and I see you even every day at your firm just kind of being on the court with the women, and I say mostly as women. You know, as you look forward, what does success look like in the next couple years for Agency H5?
Well, I think the pandemic definitely impacted business just from a standpoint of where we work, how we work, sometimes asynchronously working now. And I like seeing that flexibility kind of manifest through a really difficult time. I think in the past, there would have been no way we would have all been working from home for 2 years. And yet, it's sort of reinforced how much we can do anywhere. Mm-hmm. As far as what success looks like for H5, I'd say continued growth with good clients in sectors that we like to work in. We work with candy companies and big CPG brands, and so you know I'd like to see more of that type of work because that's where I started my career in food and beverage PR 30 years ago, which is crazy to believe when I started right out of school. But that's success. And then I would say the ability for me to learn more. I really like learning. I'm recognizing that at my age now, I do have wisdom to share, and I've been always sharing it, whether people probably wanted to hear it or not. I just think sharing from a woman's perspective to another woman gives, I guess, less fear to go through the journey. I think, you know, life's kind of messy, and when you share your story with other women, they feel less afraid when they have to go through their own. But I hope to be able to do other things. Like, I am enjoying putting my hands on other businesses where I can make an impact. And see change and learn something new and refresh my own skills a bit.
Yeah, I think that I did want to mention that. You know, a lot of people through the pandemic work remotely. They picked up side hustles. Mm-hmm. They did their own thing. And you almost took a secondary CEO role in many times. And how do you juggle, what to do and how to do it with all the things that are on your plate?
I think it's interesting how we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to get our to-do list done. And, I have a to-do list that's perpetually, in play, as probably I know you do too. And we check our things off the list. I have enjoyed that stretch a bit of actually not having it be so easy. I think that I don't really, enjoy complacency, even though right now I probably should enjoy it a bit. But I have three kids in college. So we, you know, I'm still grinding because when you have six children to put through school, you still have to work pretty hard. But I've enjoyed my brain being stretched and also new experiences. And, you know, I guess I'm learning maybe I'm a serial entrepreneur. I like building business. I like the connections that businesses offer you through meeting interesting new people and maybe even getting exposure in new spaces that you wouldn't normally, you know, be in. And for me, that has been rewarding and also exciting because, you know, when you invest in other companies, if they hit, that could be a wonderful annuity as well. I'm not ready to be done working in any capacity, nor can I right now. But at the same time, I enjoy getting my hands dirty. I don't like being in an office. I like shoulder-to-shoulder work, like you said, getting in the trenches. Yeah. That's just the way I lead. Is I don't like to have anyone feel intimidated by the fact that I'm older or have more experience. I'm excited, actually, to learn and be next to someone who's maybe learning for the first time and then recognizing I'm good at teaching something new or them teaching me something, like, again, social media.
Yeah.
Who would have thought I was going to be active working with clients in TikTok, for instance? Like, that's something that youth has taught me and has been a part of the growth of my business a bit, is just different social channels and different types of brands. Yeah,
I think that you're so impressive because some of the things you get involved in, you know, on paper, you're really a newbie, you know, these new companies that you've been starting and working on. And I think that's really the trajectory that keeps you growing and changing and evolving that leads to more opportunities.
Right.
And I also believe, is it real to say that, you know, especially women, as we age, you could be in the category of not getting as many opportunities, and yet you're this person that seems to be kind of picking up opportunities year after year. How do you kind of combat that, you know, look, I'm running a company and I'm head down and growing that, but I'm open for stuff. And it seems like you've really got that out there. How do you do that?
You know, I think sometimes it's just asking for
yeah.
it. It's the whether it's the universe or God or the list you write down or the future dream you have for yourself. I've done a lot of those things. I've written down the list of things I want to do or bucket list type of experiences or just through sheer will in some way. But I also ask for a business. I actually meet people and say, I'd love to support your business. I'd love to add value to your life in some way because you've added value to mine. I've always been very much a believer in not being transactional. I mean, I think there's reasons for transactional business. You provide a service or a product and I'm buying it. But I do feel like transformational relationships in business is something that is often underestimated. And transformational relationships are the ones that actually have manifested the most opportunity and joy for me, truly. And so, like, the best, I think, gift people have given me is just the trust in giving me another shot or giving my name to someone. That's a huge privilege. I'd never, ever take that for granted when someone says, like, use Agency H5 or call Kathleen. She'll take good care of your
yeah.
project. And that is something a lot of people, I think, whiff on sometimes. They get referred something and they don't follow up or they don't care or they maybe don't give their best because they're overextended. I will, if you referred me something or anybody that was in my network did, I would want to make sure our team did such an excellent job, not just because we care about doing excellent work, but because that personal referral is so valuable.
Absolutely.
And I don't believe people maybe necessarily value that transformational relationships as much as they should right now in this world. A lot of choices out there, right?
Yeah.
A lot of branding
yeah.
firms, a lot of marketing firms. So why did my little firm get to grow? I'm confident that it's because of the great values of the teammates that I've worked with, and I have a pretty amazing alumni group that exists out there in the world because of having a small, you know, time with me.
Yeah. And maybe just talk to the listeners about how you have rounded out your team. I hear from what you say that you're really the rainmaker and the person that goes out and gets those, establishes mm-hmm. those relationships and makes sure they stay there. What are the kind of parts of the team that you really had to fill in to make the puzzle work?
I think the hardest roles right now, just in PR in general, are these, you know, sort of 25 to 30-year-old. They've gotten their first shot, and then maybe they see that they want to see something else, or the grass might be greener, or they might get a call from a recruiter. And, you know, I always marvel when people don't recognize the opportunity they're given in a way to get a lot of leadership. One of the things I like to do at H5 is give young people opportunity to do whatever the heck they are capable of doing. I was a young leader myself, and sometimes you're only limited by the job you're at a firm, and they, you know, you have to be at a certain point for a certain amount of years before you get to go to the next level. And I've never believed that. I, in fact, for a long time resisted titles because I didn't like titles. I thought it limited you. And then kids are always wanting the next title, right? And instead, I'm a big believer, is like, act like you can. That's a motto of mine. And so I've given young people a lot of opportunity to become managers or have client exposure that they would not at another firm. But sometimes there's a temptation to see what's on the other side. And what I've heard, which is a bit gratifying as well, they've appreciated going to other places maybe to get that experience. It isn't maybe they didn't necessarily have it as similar of experience of some firm that is value-driven as H5 is.
Well, sharing your story is really lucky for me and all our listeners, because I think that the intentionality that you go about your business is really to be commended, and also that you've just kind of chipped away and chipped away. In essence, I think this is your golf. I think this, you know, why you do it, you know, day and night is you enjoy it. And it's fun to watch. I know that we all have our eyes on what's next for Agency H5, and we expect big things. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad. We'll be right back.